Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Where does your heart begin? This is the question I want to ask. Just a few questions while you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, 43. Where does your heart begin? Where does it begin for you? So here's a question. Are you trying to be loved? Are you desperately trying to be loved? Or are you trying to love others? Are you trying to be accepted, or are you actually trying to accept others? These are different places of where your heart begins, and it changes the whole outcome of the way you live. Are you desiring to be honored or to honor others? Where do you live? How do you live? You know, for each one of us, our hearts deeply want to be accepted, don't they? We desperately want to be included in people's lives. We desperately need to be loved. Right? We need to be known. But we have no control over whether or not we will be. Do we? We're absolutely powerless to make people love us. We're powerless to cause people to accept us. Absolutely powerless. Think about junior high, right? The worst time in a human's life. You usually make the worst decisions, that and then probably college for most people, right? Somehow we behave in similar ways. I don't understand these parallels, but transition. Serious transition is taking place in our lives, and most people's brains turn off while they start growing their bodies. And for some reason, God starts pumping all kinds of new hormones into young human beings, and they freak out. God bless them. They're amazing people. But I just want you to think about your life through maybe your most awkward transition in your life. And how desperately you wanted to just be accepted. And think about all the things that you did to try to be accepted. I remember I started wearing Megadeth t-shirts. Megadeth. Okay, me. Megadeth. Like, I never listened to the band because I hated them. But I was just trying to be accepted by somebody. And I grew out the sweetest mullet. Could feel that, baby. I cried, literally cried in junior high when my dad cut it. Yeah, don't tell anybody. If you get real close, you'll see that I have a little scar from a pierced earring so I could rock my dangly skeleton earring. I was like the opposite of a rocker, guys. Like, I was trying so hard because I met this one friend, this one guy who I thought was cool, and I just wanted to be accepted so bad that I just changed everything to try to conform myself so I could be accepted. In fact, I was just striving every moment of every day. I would wake up super early, spend an hour trying to grease my nasty hairdo up to make it work. It was terrible. I should have just worn a hat every day. I mean, it was bad. Yeah, I didn't use shampoo very often. I don't know why. Now listen, it's down in my personal life. Dang it. But I want you to think back to a time for you where everything, every fiber of your being was just grasping and clinging. Somebody love me. Somebody accept me. Somebody value me. Man, I just want to belong. I want to know that I belong. And we'll do anything, won't we? We'll go to great lengths. And maybe in your life, you can play that, you see the beginning, and maybe you can play that through your life, and you see that same trend throughout your life, that you've been desperately clinging to trying to be loved, trying to be accepted. It's the opposite of how God has called us to live. It's the actually the invert, that's the in, that's inverted from how the kingdom really works. It's the opposite way to live, is to try to be accepted. And this is why I think it's so profound of what Christ did for us, is how he didn't make us do anything to be accepted by him. Because he knew that we're perpetually in this position of insecurity. I need to belong. I want to belong. In fact, he made us that way with that big hole, like needing to belong and needing to be needed and wanted and loved. And the amazing thing is he made us powerless to be able to get those things. But he made us so powerful to give them. Didn't he? He made us powerless to get them, but he made us powerful to give them. We're just set up. We're set up for the sacrificial life, the lifestyle of giving, the lifestyle of true love, which Ephesians 5:1 says is a life of sacrifice, and we'll read that here in a moment. But I want to ask you, just, are you trying to be loved? Are you trying to love others? Are you trying to be accepted? Are you desperately trying to cause others to be accepted? The key to a rich and fruitful life in Christ is to live, to focus, to love outside of you. The key to a fruitful Christian life is to live, to love, to live your life outside, to focus outside of you. So rather than in me, I'm going to take all of my focus, all of my real life and meaningful life will be everything outside of me. So if you start looking at you and those needs, you know that selfish life is not going to produce the life that you're really looking for. You know, Jesus said those who want to gain their life have to what? Lose it. So the focus is for the fruitful life in Christ is outside of us. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, right? You got to take care of yourself. You have to be healthy and focus on growing you and working on you. But that can't be the end all. That can't be your end focus is trying to meet all of your needs and all the focus is you. And that just creates this vortex, this black hole of just chaos around us when we just need, we just take, right? And then the funny thing is that when we set ourselves up that way, we're really setting ourselves up for rejection. And you can feel that with other people, can't you? When someone has positioned themselves to be rejected, it's like there's almost nothing you can do because you know you could never meet all of their needs. As much as you want to accept them and give them the best that you have, you could never give them everything that they need. It's like approaching the Grand Canyon. How many of you ever been to the Grand Canyon? And if your task is you approach the Grand Canyon, someone said, it's your job to fill it with water. Man, you could pump 1,000 gallons an hour, a minute into that thing, and it just seemed like a drop. It's nothing. Whatever you and I could do for that great need that only God can fill in our life. There's such a Grand Canyon size hole inside of each and every one of us that is desperate to be filled with the love that only Christ can provide through his saving grace, through his mercy. If you're looking for that, if you know you've got that giant canyon inside your heart. That's what I knew, and that's when God met me. Is when I realized I've got this giant canyon in my heart, that only God, only Jesus can fill. And he paved the way. He paid the price to fill it, to love me, to accept me, not based on anything that I did. Man, when I grabbed that and God just transformed my heart, it was the best day of my life. In fact, it affected, and I didn't even know it quite as much as I know now, my eternal state, that I was going to be in heaven with Jesus forever versus separated for him for eternity. So I want to challenge you at some point today, if you've never made Christ the Lord of your life and you know you have that Grand Canyon size hole and you need to be accepted and loved, you're like, I know I'm made for that. You're right, you are. And Jesus made the way for you to be fully accepted by your Father in heaven. And nothing can ever separate you from that. So the first place in our life is that we allow God to fill that Grand Canyon gap and space in our heart, right? You cannot live a life of loving and accepting others if that Grand Canyon hole is not filled with the love of God. It's just too giant and needy, right? It's just too big. And so many times we take those needs to our spouses, or we take those needs to our friends, or we try to get those filled in all kinds of other places. And we set other people up like, whoa, man, this is the Grand Canyon. I can't fill it. I'm not God. And that's a good thing that people realize that. I'm not God. I cannot be Jesus for you. I can't be. Only he can be. But I can be me for you. Right? So think about this. Our lives are designed to be focused outward. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't even work if you focus in. Like it's like gravity. Gravity works one way, and you can't change the way that works. You can only respond to it, right? You have to respond to the principles and laws that govern gravity. It's absolute. Listen, the way God designed us is absolute. It just is the way it is. And we're designed for a life of outward love and outward focus. It's beautiful. But we've got to buy in. We've got to understand this is the way it is. We need to apply this truth to our life. That's true wisdom, right? When you apply that truth to your life, then you begin to live it. So let's go here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. How are we doing in here? You guys doing good? Listen, this is not one message that I want to preach, and then you go, okay, good message. Good job, Pastor. This is a life change. Amen. Come on. What's going on over there? Listen, this is a life change. This is about you and I committing to one another. We're going to change fundamentally the way we live, unless we're already living this way. Then we're going to root ourselves in this value and principle, and we're going to say, yeah, I remember that. I know that. That's absolutely true, and I'm going to perpetuate that. I'm going to live that way with every fiber of my being. Amen? Come on. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his son sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Look, our lives are called, we're designed not just to love the people that choose to accept us. See, it's so easy when someone lavishes their love on us for us to respond with acceptance and love back to them, isn't it? But I would like to say this, that I don't think that you and I can truly understand real love just by receiving it. I don't think you and I can truly understand honor just by receiving honor. You and I can't truly understand acceptance by just being accepted. That I think that the root of understanding real love, real honor, real acceptance is when we learn to give it sacrificially. When there's nothing for us to benefit. When I learn to love my enemy. See, this is the extreme. Because there's nothing to gain from loving my enemy. There's no guarantee your enemy is going to turn. There's no guarantee your enemy is going to like all of a sudden love you. That's not what it's saying. There's no promise knit into that. If you love your enemy, then he's going to love you back. She's going to love you back. No, that enemy could still be your enemy and probably will be still your enemy. But to truly grasp and understand what real love is about, we have to die. We have to die to us. We have to let go of us. We have to expect nothing in return for what we give. Man, that's where the real deal is. When we, kids, our children, when you have kids or if you've had kids and you have grandkids, man, from what I hear, when you start having grandkids, it gets even more special. You know, I think because you're just not around, you know, all the stuff that drives you crazy. Even though, like this morning, I can't even count. There's countless mornings of how many times one of my little guys wakes up. I mean, this one, he wakes up at 7 in the morning, 6:30, 7 in the morning, right? And he is up. He comes and knocks on my door, dong, 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 dong. So there's times when he's come up and woke Joni and I up, tapping on her forehead. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm like, jeez, man. I cannot train this kid to not get up and come in my room. Hey, I got 6 kids, right? And I know how to train my kids. I can't train this guy. He's got something fire going on in him. He's got questions. He needs answers in the morning. I'm like, he doesn't care about the consequences. They don't matter to him. He needs answers, right? Okay. That drives me crazy. And I'll be frustrated, but then I get up and I start spending, even this happened this morning, start spending some time with this little guy. He is so special. He is so amazing. That thing that drives me crazy is what makes him great. You know, and if I get caught up trying to discipline that out of him, I'm going to get lost in the love relationship that I can have with this little guy. In the midst of all of the sacrifices and poopy diapers and color crayons on the walls, poop with pizza cutters through them, diapers and underwear thrown on the lights and chandeliers, caught on fire, kids eating other kids' poop, whatever. What else have they done? We got them all. This girl can write a book. I'm surprised that she's not in an asylum or something, man. God has seriously put her through the test. Somehow, after all of that sacrifice, because that's pretty much all you do when your kids are real little, right? Is you really sacrifice a lot. Man, you're not doing that for anything for you. You do it with your children purely out of a sacrificial heart of love. That's why it's so beautiful when we do get that opportunity to love someone else outside of us. And to love a young person outside of us. Yeah. And we get the opportunity. I think God gave us children, not only because he wants people in heaven, right? That's the good plan. But also because he wanted to teach us about him. It's not the only way we can learn it. But doggone, I mean, I'm telling you, kids teach you that real quick. How to be selfless. It's not about you. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Man. This beautiful relationship begins to bud with your children where, and it's all come through the value of you giving it for them. Expecting nothing in return. Amazing. It's amazing. I feel that I understand God's love so much deeper from not from being loved by other people. Not from being accepted by other people. But I feel that I have learned and I am learning. I'm in that process of learning God's love and acceptance and true acceptance in the depth of his heart from the sacrifice of accepting others, loving others, when it doesn't benefit me, when there's nothing in it for me. That's why this extreme in Matthew is so beautiful, to see that the challenge to not just love when it doesn't benefit you, but when you have an enemy. Like, this means any extreme. There are no bounds and limits to your sacrifice of love toward others. Do you grab that? Let's go Ephesians 5:1 real quick. These are two of my favorite passages in the Bible, actually. We're pretty much going to read all my favorite passages today, because today's the day to do that. Ephesians 5, verse 1, imitate God. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Big statement, right? Imitate God. Just imitate him. That's all. Be just like him. No big deal. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, not just second kids, not just stepkids, not just the kids he puts up with, you're his dearly beloved children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Smells good when you sacrifice to God. He likes it. It's beautiful to him. He called us to imitate him and to love this way. So when we think about real love, here's the biblical little foundation here for you. Say, well, Josh, I don't know. You're just making that love stuff up. No, I'm not making it up. I didn't make this up. It's right here. He says real love is imitate me if you want to really know how to love. Let everything in you go. Give it all away. Don't expect anything in return. Full sacrificial love. You know, God has established his people for extraordinary living. I think we get caught up and we get satisfied with good living. Don't we? I think I'm a victim of this from time to time. Maybe some of those around me go, man, I wish he'd just settle for good. Good's not good enough. Good is the enemy of great, bottom line. And God did not call me to just be good. God did not call you to just be good. He did not sacrifice everything, purchase you, fully empower you to just be good. Well, I'm a good father. I'm a good enough father. I'm a good enough mother. I'm a good employee. I'm a good church member. I'm a good Christian. That's not what he died for. That's not what he empowered you for, is to just be good. He made you to be extraordinary. Amen. Special. You're his special people. Yeah. You're his special people. Yeah. His plan was to change the world through you and me. He made you to be great, not just good. He made this church, his church, globally, locally, glocally. Come on. Let's make stuff up all the time. He made that. He decided, he established the institution of the church, the gathering of believers to work together in an extraordinary way, supernatural way. Supernatural, not just spiritual, supernatural. Yeah. Your life, natural life, super. Yeah. Super, duper, awesome. Right? God made you to be great. Man, can you strip off your pauper mindset? Just take it off and set it aside and realize that you're a child of the King, designed for greatness, made for greatness, made to be great, to do great things, not just to be average. This is the amazing thing about God's kingdom, is it doesn't matter where you start. You can end up in greatness in him. Whether you're in a POW camp, a prisoner of war, right? Whether you're stuck in a dead-end job, whether you come from a divorced family, whether everything was stripped away from you or not, that doesn't matter. You start from negative 200. You, in Christ, can be a king. You are made for greatness. Because listen, in the middle of that great adversity, you get to shine. You get to be the city on a hill. And people's minds, they get blown because they go, how can you still have joy in the midst of all of this? When everything's been taken from you, how can you still live? It's through his grace. It's through his power. It's through his love. Through his sacrifice. It's through his greatness destined in you to live through you, to change everything around you. That's his plan. Break it off. You're made for greatness. Stop thinking average. When you get into a job, you shouldn't think, I'm going to be an average employee. You should show up on the job thinking, I'm going to be an extraordinary employee. Wherever I go, I'm not going to cause problems. I'm going to bring life, solutions, like Daniel, right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These guys all got promoted everywhere they went because they learned how to live outside themselves, how to love outside themselves, how to give, how to sacrifice. They honored ungodly kings. Do you know that? They honored ungodly kings. So much of our problems we have is because we do not know how to honor. I'm going to read a quote to you right here. We live, and I'm going to just challenge our culture. This is American culture. This is our church culture. We live in a dishonoring culture. It's the American way. And it needs to change. This is something God is after. He's after changing this culture. So this is from Supernatural Ways of Royalty. Okay, throughout the scripture, God tells us that he is opposed to the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Honor is humility in action. Honor is humility in action. It's a matter of the heart and requires an honest assessment of the value of other people and a choice to focus on that above ourselves. As a friend of mine stated, arrogance isn't thinking too much of ourselves, but thinking too little of others. If we want the grace God gives to the humble, we must put the wisdom of God into practice. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. The problem isn't necessarily thinking of us too highly, it's thinking of others too little. Thinking of others too little. Let's back this up with a few Bible scriptures. What do you think? Honor is humility in action. It's a verb, man. Honor is a verb. We actually step out and lift other people up. Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Here's that, living to be accepted. Living to be important, right? Man, if we live to be important, everything in our life will implode. Can I stop? There are some huge studies out about the way organizations operate, and that only organizations that are great organizations that go on and on, the only ones that ever do that have leaders and like not just the top leader, but a lot of leaders that value that the organization won't be about them. They're not in for self-interest. They're about making the organization great, not them great. And every organization that has a leader that wants to make himself great, no matter what kind of degree he's got, how high-powered, falutin, tootin' the dude is, or dudette is, right? Because they come in all shapes and sizes and genders these days, right? Those individuals, their success begins and ends with them always. And their organizations always implode around them. Isn't that amazing? Huge statistics that support that. Biblical principle, right here in the Bible. Do not be selfish or self-centered. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Don't make decisions in your life to impress other people so that they will accept you, so that they will value you and acknowledge you or love you or honor you. Be humble. Humility in action is honor. Thinking of others as better than yourself. That doesn't mean you think you're terrible. It really means you're thinking of them before you think of you. When you make a decision, you think of them first. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested also in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, or the same that Jesus had. James 3:14, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. That is the worst kind of lie. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and motivated by the devil. The devil. It's the devil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Selfishness, jealousy, envy, these things are evil. I think sometimes we minimize how bad they are, how destructive and corrosive they are to our communities, to our life together. But it says here that it is an evil behavior that erodes everything around us. Man, I want to look at myself and say, God, I don't want to live selfishly. I don't want to live for me, right? I want to live for others. I want to live outside of me. James 2:8. Yes, indeed, it is good when you truly obey our Lord's royal command found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? We always want to take care of us. And if we would love other people to the same value that we desire to love and take care of us, we would actually put that attention on others. Think about how powerful that would be, right? When you think outside of you, you don't cause others to stumble, right? When you think outside of you, you don't cause others to stumble. 1 Corinthians 8:9, but you must be careful with the freedom of this freedom of yours. Do not cause a brother or sister with a weaker conscience to stumble. It goes on to talk about food and drinking and eating and all this stuff, right? It's not about being right, expressing yourself, or being you. It's about loving others. I think our culture teaches us so much about us. Being you. You can be anything you want to be. That's a total lie. You can't be anything you want to be. You can be great at what God made you to be. You can be great at loving people. Do you know you could be the greatest lover of people ever? Do you know that? There's no limit. You could be the godliest person that ever lived. Do you know that? Those traits are not your traits. Those are his traits living in you. That's the grace of God living in you. And we can access that kind of love and that kind of trait. We can't make ourselves better athletes, better pianists, right? We're only going to get as good as we can get. And that's it, right? You can't be anything. If you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything. No, you can't. But what you can't, this sounds really bad. I'm just saying it's a lie. You're not going to play professional football, Hannah. It's not going to happen. Like, I saw the draft. I watched it. They didn't pick your name. They wouldn't. Towel girl? Totally. Chain holder? You could totally do that job. You could help a lot of things. You have a, there's greatness in you, though. There is greatness in you. And God made you for greatness. He made you to leave a lasting impact. But not just anything. It's not about you just expressing yourself, being you, being accepted, being loved. Man, we focus on these things a lot in our life, don't we? It's, life isn't about those things. True living is about losing. It's about living with loss. It's about living with loss. We don't really manage the things we lose, but listen, if we're giving our whole life away, it's a lot easier when things slip through our fingers, isn't it? God designed us to live outside of us. So I'm just going to ask you this question, and if you would stand with me, and we're just going to close, and well, we're going to transition into a time of worship. And we're also going to do a couple baptisms at the end of the service, so I really want you to stick around, encourage you to stay through our whole worship time. And response to this word and this message is that the key to a rich and fruitful life is Christ, in Christ, is to live, to focus outside of you. So the question comes to, are you trying to be loved or love others? Trying to be accepted? Or are you trying and living to accept others? Are you trying to be noticed by people or trying to honor them? You can't control whether or not someone will accept you, but you can control whether or not you can accept others. You can love others. So let's make a conscious response to the Lord today when we worship. God, forgive me for living for me. If that's you, you can repent for that. I think I repent for that virtually every day. Because I notice there are times when I just taking care of me. I'm forgetting about other people. I'm making selfish decisions, right? And God, help me to be selfless. Help me to be a part of a culture that is giving, loving others. Not just pretending to love others, but genuinely. That's what Romans 12 says. Don't pretend to just love others. Do it. Really come outside yourself and really love others. Amen? So let's just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we worship and we respond in worship. It's good? You guys good? I'm excited about the next couple weeks that are coming up. Next week is Harley Sunday or Motorcycle Sunday. Is that right, Pastor Brad? The Bike Blessing Sunday. I'm not much of a motorcycle guy. Can you tell? But at ACC, these guys are crazy about motorcycles. Crazy about motorcycles. And so Pastor Brad is also crazy about motorcycles. I love motorcycles. I think they're awesome and loud. They wake up my babies when they drive by. I don't love that about motorcycles, but look, if you drive a motorcycle and you want to drive your motorcycle, can they drive them into the foyer? Yeah, you can drive your motorcycle into the foyer at church. It's crazy. Pastor Brad is going to drive his motorcycle into our church service next week. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited about it. And he's going to be dressed in his full leather. So I encourage you, if you drive a bike, you ride a bike, you got a bicycle, I don't care what you got. Come in your bicycle helmets, clothes, bike to church, drive your bikes up onto everything around here that can be driven on. Pastor Richard's going to kill me for saying that. And anyway, I want to encourage you, bring your biker friends. You got biker friends? We're going to be a biker-friendly Sunday. Amen? It's going to be fun. All right, so I want to encourage you to do that next week. And then we're gonna do a couple baptisms, too, right at the very end of the service. It's a special time. I'm very excited about those. And I just want to encourage you to just be in faith, and we're going to pray together and worship together. So let's pray. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Father, thank you for your love and your goodness. Fill us with your love to overflowing. God, we want to express your love in such a powerful way. God, that it's not about us. It's not about us getting what we need. God, it's about us giving what others need. Lord, that we would be focused on accepting others, God, and not just trying to live and be accepted and living so insecure. God, we'd be secure in you. We're your children. We belong to you. Fill our Grand Canyon of need, God, with your grace, with the only thing that can fill it. It's you, Jesus. It's only you. Father, we ask that, Abba, your love would fill that Grand Canyon in us. And God, we pray that we would be people that just love and extend our hand of love and mercy and care and compassion and comfort, God, to others outside of us. Lord, we love you. God, I pray that we would have a rich time worshiping you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.